All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life.
We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Laura. We're the founders of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small.
And our team of experts show you how to live and shop responsibly by sharing world-changing lifestyle ideas, products, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the planet-friendly goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast.
And to help spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Laura, you've probably heard me talk all the time about my love for Sheets and Giggles. I've been sleeping on their new sustainable eucalyptus sheets for the past 8 months straight. I recommend them 1000%. Every week I wash them and put them back on the bed right away. They're my go-to sheets. All of my other sheets, even the ethical ones, are taking a long break.
After hearing you rave about them for so long, Lisa, I finally got a chance to try their new eucalyptus comforter. So I'm a weirdo. I really like having a comforter on my bed all the time, even when we have the heat blasting. I haven't woken up once hot while I was using this one from Sheets and Giggles. It's a great ethical and sustainable alternative to the down comforter we used to use that's now sitting on our guest bed. Another thing I love about Sheets and Giggles is that they don't use plastic packaging and the materials don't use pesticides, so they're kind to our animal and insect friends.
They also plant a tree for each sheet set that is sold, and they're passionate about giving back. They give 10% off to customers who donate their old sheets to homeless shelters, and they have donated over $40,000 to Colorado COVID relief.
Good Together listeners get 15% off by using the code BRIGHTLYECO at SheetsGiggles.com. If you can believe it, the fall and winter seasons are upon us, and Thanksgiving is just around the corner. While holiday traditions are important to treasure and to share with others as best you can, especially this year, I will say, as a conscious consumer, it can be difficult to wrap your head around the waste that our favorite holidays can generate. Nobody wants to be a Debbie Downer when it comes to holiday cheer, but the good news is, with a little bit of curiosity and planning, you too can have a successful and sustainable Thanksgiving. In this episode, Lisa and I share tips from our own lives, plus others sourced from the hundreds of pointers that our Brightly community has compiled at brightly.eco/holiday-tips. We chat about how to cut down on wasted food, ways to source ethical ingredients, our favorite eco-friendly recipes, and more. Let's get into it. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good. I'm ready for fall, all things fall. We are recording this episode right before Halloween. And as you know, I think like Halloween, if I'm correct, is kind of the first step into the holiday season, right?
Absolutely. And Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And, you know, similar to the way we talk about Black Friday being a big time for conscious consumerism and Christmas, Hanukkah, et cetera, Thanksgiving, I think, is left out of the conversation a lot of times, but it's another big way to have a positive impact with what you purchase, right? Like, what do we think about when we think about Thanksgiving? We think about like excess food, waste. Yeah. And don't we think about like, I think about frantically running to the grocery store and having to spend a ton of money for random items that I usually don't eat during the year, and then they're wasted because no one eats it all. Like, exactly. What the heck?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, definitely like excess, right? We always like, we have these associations when, like, I don't know, grandfather like opening his pants after Thanksgiving dinner, you know?
And I mean,
all of my Everybody Loves Raymond references are coming in full force in this episode. But that's kind of association of Thanksgiving that we all have. And, we thought it would be really kind of important to talk about Thanksgiving and unfortunately the associated waste that comes with this holiday, right? There's obviously a lot of good and important things about Thanksgiving, celebrating community, coming together around the table, you know, remembering our traditions and, you know, this history of this country. But again, we're going to talk about kind of the problems, right? The problems that comes with Thanksgiving and the way we currently celebrate Thanksgiving in America. But also, of course, we will always leave you with actionable tips on how, you know, what you can do to celebrate Thanksgiving more eco-friendly.
Yeah, we want this to be, like all of our conversations, informative, but ultimately positive. Like, we're going to talk about the problems. We're going to talk about why they exist and sort of what's going on behind the scenes. Yep. And then we're going to talk about, you know, how we can make a difference as conscious consumers, because like, let's be real, like Thanksgiving is a really great time with your family. And we right now during COVID are all faced with, in addition to the regular Thanksgiving potential problems, we'll talk about it in a second. We're also faced with like an ethical dilemma about how we are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this year. And if you're listening to this in 2021 and just going back, I hope that we have solved all of that in the future.
Yeah.
Right now, a lot of us are having these questions, like, do we all freeze outside when we have our dinner? So that's something, I mean, we're not going to talk much about that now, but in general, there's a lot to consider. So let's get into it from like a positive and like curious perspective, right? So Lisa, I know you are super passionate about reducing waste. So can you tell the audience and our listeners a little bit more about like what's going on with Thanksgiving waste?
Yeah, of course. And yeah, exactly. With me, when I think about food, and I think actually this started with our episode on conscious eating with Sophie Egan back in spring.
Yeah.
I realized that one of the main causes, my causes in a good way, things that I truly believe in is food waste and like reducing food waste, right?
Same. Yes.
And, you know, buying high quality and local food. That's kind of the main thing. The rest, if it's like food is packaged in plastic, it's less important. It's still important for me, but the, you know, again, there's all these values that are ranked in importance for all of us.
Yeah.
So for me, food waste is just at the top. And again, I think it started becoming such a priority for me because of the research we've done for that previous episode. But let's talk about Thanksgiving specifically.
Yeah.
So in the US, as you know, if you listen to our previous episodes, 40% of food goes to waste. 40%.
It's all, in general, right?
In general, yeah. Exactly. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's, Americans throw out 25% more than regular, more trash than the rest of the year, just trash in general.
Wow.
Yeah, and again, we've talked about it in the holiday episodes last year. You can listen back to it. But unfortunately, the holiday season is really, really wasteful. So in terms of Thanksgiving, of course, the main kind of star of the night is turkey, right? About 200 million pounds, the numbers are crazy to me, will be thrown away at Thanksgiving just in 1 year.
That's crazy. Insane. That, I mean, like, yeah. That's a lot.
Exactly. More than 150 million pounds of potatoes, green beans, and other vegetable sides will never get eaten. Bread baskets will be filled with an estimated 14 million pounds of dinner rolls that will simply be dumped after the meal. Isn't crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy. And I think for me, what stands out in these statistics is, you know, in general, we should be thinking about how to create less waste. And when we think about Thanksgiving meals, there's such a temptation to have like, just, I don't know. We've all been to Thanksgivings where there's like 20 sides. I mean,
exactly.
And it becomes like a celebration from that perspective. So if you want to have a lot of sides, please go for it, but then be ready to eat those leftovers.
Exactly.
Like, plan ahead, you know, be creative about what you're going to do with those leftovers. Make sure you send, let's assume that you're going to have a gathering with other people, just because we'll keep going from that perspective. But whether you're by yourself or you're with other people, make sure that everyone gets sent home with those leftovers with like a plan on how to reheat them. Like, wouldn't that be cool if you went to someone's house and they gave you like, okay, Lisa, you're going to get the leftover green bean casserole. And look, I found a recipe for what to do with leftover green bean casserole. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it's just a fun kind of community events and fun activity for all of you. And of course, it's especially important this year, right? One of our scouts, actually, Sarah Steiger, she was one of our scouts of the week. If you guys not familiar with scouts yet, go to brightly.eco/scouts. You can essentially become a member of our community and our scout ambassador. So we are filling up a super fun holiday tips, eco-friendly tips database. Again, we'll link to all of that in the episode show notes. No worries, it's brightly.eco/holiday-tips, if you can remember that. But anyways, one of her tips is basically like, this year a lot of people aren't having large Thanksgiving celebrations. So if it's like, even when with me and my husband, or you, Laura, and your husband, you know, it's usually just two of us. I know, plus your dogs, but you know, we always have to, like, if we're buying like a piece of lamb or, I don't know, frozen fish, I right away have to cut it down in portions that we actually will be able to eat right away. Because otherwise you're unfreezing this big chunk of food. And if it's just two of you, you're just not going to eat it. And some food, of course, you can preserve for a few days or reuse and reheat. Others, not so much. So especially important to think about it this year for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And there's creative ways that you can save this stuff for later. So for instance, I love being cognizant of the stuff in my fridge and like creating recipes on the fly. Like, I'm a little bit more like, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants there, but like, I get a little bit of a thrill there because I'm like using up what's in the fridge. Yep. And like, we always like high five when we've done it in our house. I don't know. I think it's fun. I'm a nerd that way. But I noticed that the other day I was looking through my fridge and I saw that we had a lot of ingredients for like almost like a pasta bake lasagna type meal. And so as I started to make it, I realized, wait a second, I literally have so much food here. And like, if we make this whole thing, we are going to be eating off of it for like multiple days and we're going to be sick of it, even though it's really tasty. So what I actually did was before I cooked it, I divided it into two and then I froze half of it before I even cooked it. So it's like literally like I made two meals in one and I haven't done that too much. So hopefully this is like an interesting tip. Like, do you do that, Lisa? I've never really done it.
Yeah, no, I've done it, but not as much. I remember when we were doing episode with Sophie on conscious eating, remember, I think one of the main kind of food waste reduction tips she had is like, freezer is your friend. And I think I started just back then, I started thinking about it. So I started freezing, for example, pesto. Mm-hmm. I love making fresh pesto, but again, we're not going to be eating like for 3 days straight pesto pasta, despite again how delicious it is. So I freeze like half of it or most of it, and then I refreeze it really quickly, and it's really great. I actually picked up a tip from our community. I haven't used it. Well, I have done half of it. So a lot of folks recommend, you know, cutting off the stems of like broccoli and stuff, because usually usually you don't eat them, but you actually can freeze them and then put them in the broth, and it's very flavorful. So I have done the freezing part, haven't done the broth yet. But in general, I think we're definitely underusing our freezers, and it's something area of research for me. And a lot of times I hesitate. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat it tomorrow, next day. And then it just goes to waste. So like, if you have hesitation, you don't have kind of a meal in mind in the immediate 2 days coming up, just go ahead and freeze something. I think as far as I understand, like my research on food waste, freezing stuff like prevents a lot of food loss, food waste.
Absolutely. So in addition to making sure you eat your leftovers, don't forget you can like reuse those leftovers creatively. So like I talked about, like if you've got a protein, then you can use that protein in other ways. Oftentimes if my family makes salmon, we'll grill it, we'll have most of it, maybe half of it just fresh right then. And then the next day we like to do sort of a Alfredo, like healthy Alfredo pasta with Greek yogurt. It's really tasty. And then I'll flake the salmon and put it in there. So it's like salmon is in that meal, but it's just kind of adding on. So when you have, these leftovers, see if you can reuse them in creative ways. So that's one, that's another tip we have with food waste. And again, you know, we keep giving shout outs. We did a whole episode on this previously, so make sure you go listen to that. But make sure you're planning ahead too. Like, let's talk about that. So when you have a Thanksgiving meal, whether you are hosting or you are attending, please, please RSVP and then go. We've talked about this before with parties, but just like, don't ghost. Doing that at a holiday is like a whole nother level of ghosting. So like, please don't do that and preserve your...
Especially for Thanksgiving. I think it's like the worst probably because you know people will overcook, you know, but if you don't show up, that's going to be a whole more food waste happening.
Exactly. So there's different calculators you can look at online to like help guesstimate, you know, how much you're going to need to buy. You can also take a look at recipes and see, you know, how much, how many servings that they, you know, they have. So you can do it that way. And you know what? Like another secret is if you're looking at a recipe that you like and it looks really big, you can always half the recipe, right? Like, especially if it's not baking. Baking is a little bit harder. I'm not a huge baker, but the times that I've tried to make any kind of changes to baking recipes, I feel like that doesn't go that well. So maybe not baking, but everything else you can always have it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, we have done something. I shared it with you, Laura. Like, I have kind of started meal planning a little bit. One of kind of, again, we've always talked about it. And I know we're kind of jumping around different tips today, but we're all trying to eat less meat here at Brightly, right? Yeah. We have done meatless challenge with our scouts. We have an amazing recipe database that all scouts and our ambassador community members can access with literally, I think, more than 200 meatless recipes kind of like vetted and approved by our scouts, which is awesome. And I started to actually kind of spend a bit more time and like every Sunday, like I do it by hand, like in a handwritten notebook, start writing out the meals and like with the goal of like minimizing my meat, especially red meat consumption, to like 1 to 2. Of course, most of the time I fail to meet those goals, but by me planning stuff ahead, and here today this dinner will be vegetarian, you know, this will be seafood, and of course buying the products that I will be using, it does help me. It's really helpful for me in terms of like reducing my meat consumption. Otherwise, you know, if I don't plan like and don't research recipes ahead of time, I'll just end up eating more red meat than I have to.
Exactly, because a lot of times it's easier. And let's think of meal planning and lists and all that stuff. Let's think of them less as chores and more as ways that you can be, you know, having a positive impact on the world and give yourself that high five, give yourself that gold star. Like there's so many downstream impacts of you doing meal planning. I think that's just absolutely fabulous. So I think we pretty much covered the waste thing. I mean, be mindful, you know, make sure that you've got a list before you go to the grocery store. Don't load everything up with, you know, don't load your cart up with what you don't need. Plan ahead, eat your leftovers. I think we're pretty good there, right?
Yeah, I think so. And sorry, I kind of went straight into the meatless discussion.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you did because that's a good segue into the next topic, which is the Thanksgiving turkey. And I think, you know, just like Christmas has the tree, Thanksgiving has the turkey. And it can be really difficult if you don't eat meat to kind of go to a Thanksgiving gathering, because there's going to be a turkey there. So like that, yeah. that you got to kind of have to come to terms with that. But also, like, you know, turkeys and everything, you know, they do have environmental impacts. So for instance, a 16-pound turkey has a carbon footprint of 34 roughly pounds of CO2, which is equal to the carbon footprint of the sides that you love at Thanksgiving, like gravy, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, biscuits, pies. If you kind of rolled up the environmental impact of those sides and you compare them to a turkey, they're equal. So that to me is kind of mind-blowing, because you know, those sides, there's a lot of them, and they come from all sorts, the ingredients come from all over the place. But a turkey specifically, you know, does have some pretty, you know, pretty negative environmental impacts if we think about it. Now, that being said, it does not mean you don't have to buy a turkey, because most people do. Mm-hmm. So what are like different certifications and, you know, methods, like how can people buy a better turkey, Lisa? I'm curious about this.
Yeah. As I think I mentioned kind of in the very beginning of the episodes, for me, buying locally is one, and locally and like really focusing on high quality meats is just something I personally like to focus. Again, you know, not everybody, first of all, not everybody has like a local butcher who sources this local amazing, super high, not everybody has access to that, and we should not even access to Whole Foods. So we always should be like, remember that everybody's reality is different. And second, of course, not everybody can afford it, because, you know, I love fresh meat. It's very important. I mean, it's great to have, to be able to afford this really good, high, super high quality meat. But again, not everybody can afford that.
Yep.
And for me, these are kind of like my main two ingredients or like criteria for any real meat that I buy, really. And I wanted to give a shout out. I think now is a good time. You probably have heard us talking on our social channels within our community. We have given shout out to ButcherBox before. And the reason why we thought it would be a great brand for us to partner and showcase is because another kind of very important criteria for me, it's organic, right? I think most of their meats are organic, if not all. But another super, super important part for me, they're humanely raised, right? One of the most, especially like Laura, you're our wild thing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, for people who care about animals, obviously it is a kind of like moral dilemma, like do you eat meat or not? I love animals, but we love meat, you know what I mean? And that, I think that's okay. So it's super, super important. Like for me, first of all, it's important for your diet, right? I don't know. I don't think turkey is grass, right? But like beef is grass fed, right? That, you know, how chickens are, you know, happy, and, you know, they're not in cages. They're not overfed. Yes. And same goes for turkey. So that's kind of one of the main reasons like we decided to recommend ButcherBox. Both Laura and I tried it. The quality is really good. And you actually, right now they have a special deal. You get a free, I think 10 to 14 pounds turkey for free. If you try the ButcherBox for the first time as your first order. So you can actually discover them at butcherbox.com/brightly. So check it out. It's a good source. And you know, the important thing about them, accessibility. Yeah, pretty affordable on the price side of things, right, Laura? This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, a company with a punny name but a seriously sustainable mission to make better bedding for everyone. We started partnering with Sheets and Giggles earlier this year, and the positive reviews from our community keep coming in.
I've been on a hunt for sustainable bedding for a long time now, until Brightly actually recommended Sheets and Giggles. I would highly recommend. The material is great. I personally tend to get hot at night and my boyfriend tends to get cold, so it definitely serves as a happy medium. Highly recommend.
I also get hot at night, and I found that after sleeping with Sheets and Giggles moisture wicking sheets over the past few months, I can't remember the last time I woke up overheated.
I love my Sheets and Giggles sheets. They're my absolute favorite, not only because they're super duper soft, but they are sustainably and ethically made out of eucalyptus.
Yep, I love that our scout Ashley called out how soft the Sheets and Giggles sheets are. Plus, the eucalyptus that is in their 400 thread count sheets is grown without insecticides or pesticides. They also just launched a bunch of new colors, and I can't choose between navy, blue, and red. Help me!
Sheets and Giggles bedding is super lightweight and soft, and they really nail it on zero waste packaging.
We recommend Sheets and Giggles for the softest, most sustainable sleep out there. Good Together listeners get 15% off at checkout by using the code BRIGHTLYECO at sheetsgiggles.com. The Brightly community is full of conscious consumers who are always on the hunt for new brands and products that are planet positive. A lot of the moms, aunties, and godparents in our community have been asking us to review an eco-friendly kids' clothing option for their little ones.
We're excited to recommend Mightly, a sustainable children's clothing brand. First off, they are fair trade certified, which means that the factory that produces their clothing must adhere to rigorous social and environmental standards to protect their health and safety of workers. And Mightly pays an additional fair trade premium that benefits the workers in the factory.
Plus, Mightly really cares about the materials that go into the making of their signature kids' pajamas, pants, and more. They use organic, rain-fed cotton grown without chemical pesticides or GMOs. It actually requires 70% less water than typical cotton. Plus, they work with artists to create cute prints and graphics that are unique.
Mightly sent a few of their best-selling products to Laura and I's best friends who are moms, and they really love the intentional design behind every piece. Mightly has included pockets everywhere, name tags, and they even have little hooks on their hoodies to make putting everything away easier.
That's awesome. Good Together listeners and their little ones can get 15% off by using the code BRIGHTLY at Mightly.com. That's MIGHTLY.com. Yeah, they definitely are. And in general, we like to give you options. So I think ButcherBox is a great option if you're looking into it. So please go check them out. One thing I want to get into is, you know, the different certifications. So when you go to the grocery store and you look at the turkey section, if you're making that choice, there's a few different things. You kind of alluded to a few of them, Lisa. So yeah. Of course, local is a vector you can put on it. But when we think about like what is literally written on the package,
yep.
There's organic. So organic, we've talked about many yep. times, but if you're talking about organic turkeys, it means that this turkey has had to have a vegetarian, non-GMO feed diet that is, you know, free of chemical herbicides and pesticides. And in this case, they do have to have access to the outdoors, and they are not able to be treated with antibiotics. So usually from a price per pound yeah. perspective, it's usually about $2 more expensive than a non-organic turkey. And you can find these organic turkeys at places like Whole Foods. You can also usually find them at grocery stores. So there's that. The thing that I really think is interesting, though, are these kind of new, I want to call them like cottage terms, because they're not mm-hmm. really necessarily, they're not actual certifications,
yep, exactly.
but they're terms that people use. So there's a few of them. One is pasture raised. So this is very similar to what you were just talking about, Lisa, which yep. is free range.
Yeah.
Very similar. So this means that the turkey has had access to the outdoors and they're having a diet that's a bit more rich in grasses, berries, and insects. So we're talking about like the difference between a pasture and then a small sort of, the outdoors that other turkeys are potentially exposed to without saying pasture raised, or the other two that I'll talk about in a second mm-hmm. are kind of smaller than a pasture. So we're kind of looking mm-hmm. at more real estate for the turkey to roam around.
You know, I think you've noticed that we did get some feedback on Instagram when people, like there was another term that I've mentioned, grass-fed. I'm not sure if it relates to turkeys necessarily, right? Because they don't eat grass, but I'm not sure if like grass-fed is definitely in terms of like the environmental impact, it's actually more environmentally intensive to,
it is.
Right? But again, you have to kind of choose what's important for you, right? Grass-fed meat does taste better. It's more nutritious. It's healthier. It's better for you. It's more expensive too. It's, you know, better for obviously the animal as well, but it's more environmentally intensive, right?
Yes, with the greenhouse gases.
Exactly, like exactly. Yeah. So everything is give and take. And yeah, it's hard to be perfect. It's hard to be perfect. And I think pasture raised probably also has, you know, a bit larger environmental impact if you, you know, kept the turkeys in cages. Right?
Exactly. I mean, and yeah, that's why this is complicated. And that's why we have these conversations. Exactly. And, you know, the more space the turkey has and the more space that, you know, honestly, I mean, I hate to say this, but the better quality of the life that the bird has, the more expensive it is. And so, I mean, that's true. I mean, we could split hairs about that all we want, but yeah, you know, the more we get into these certifications and sort of heirloom birds, which we'll talk about in a second, like those things are expensive AF. So,
oh, yes,
you know, if this is something that's important to you, then it's worth budgeting for it. It's worth like making that decision before you go to the store, because I've oftentimes gone to the store and been like, I'm going to get the best thing ever. And then I see the price, I freak out, and then maybe I'll go a step lower. So if it really matters to you, just budget for it. So the last two we'll talk about are like, they're kind of the same thing, which is like an heirloom turkey, quote unquote, or a heritage one. And again, these are similar in the fact that these turkeys have more room to run around, but they're wild turkeys actually that were roaming around pre-factory farming. And they, you know, they're going to have some more intense flavors because they were, you know, exposed to more things. So anyway, that's usually going above $10 a pound, which that's, I mean, that's super expensive when we think about it. So anyway, you know, we'll kind of wrap it up on the turkey itself. But if you are going to buy a turkey, there's options, take a look. But what if you don't want to buy a turkey, Lisa? Like, what then? What should we do as conscious consumers if we decided, you know what, no meat for me, or I'm just not into turkeys this year because maybe I'm having a smaller gathering than I'm used to? Like, what's going on with that?
Okay, let's start with my favorite TV show. As I promise, there's going to be a lot of mentions of Everybody Loves Raymond. And
Laura, which is hilarious because this is like the most old lady thing that Lisa
I
does.
I love like, it.
Person, I don't even watch the show, but she loves it, so let's let her have
it. My husband got me into it, and like I watched it almost as often as The Office, not as much, but yeah, I just love it. I haven't watched it for a while, but like they have multiple Thanksgiving episodes throughout.
So there you go.
Yeah, so I will say,
I'll give you credit. I think it is a very funny show. I've just never sat down and watch it, and I do really like Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is by, you know, it stars the man that was one of the core writers for Everybody Loves Raymond. So the humor is similar. So I got you. It's funny.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Larry David, is he? I don't think he was writer. No, I think, you know, there's Ray Romano.
Oh, it was Seinfeld.
No.
It was Seinfeld.
Yeah,
right.
Seinfeld.
Okay, so there we go.
Yeah.
Fact checking me.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Because I know, like, Larry David's, like, I actually cringed during Curb Your Enthusiasm. But yeah, like, Everybody Loves Raymond. Yeah, it's like old lady kind of show. Which
they're all kind of going together for me. Sorry, yeah, folks, no, if okay. You're fans. I probably just got a big eye roll from you. Sorry.
Anyway, so one of the first Everybody Loves Raymond episodes about Thanksgiving, Deborah, the, you know, the daughter-in-law, she wants to kind of start her own Thanksgiving tradition, a healthy one. And basically she's like, I can't compete with Marie's, my mother-in-law's turkey. So I'm going to make fish. And like Raymond goes just like, what? How are you ever going to win Thanksgiving by cooking fish? You know, so there's a whole episode about that. But you can cook fish, absolutely, right, Laura? Did you see
absolutely.
Any like interesting recipes? I mean, salmon is very hearty. What's it called? Tuna is basically like a piece of steak if you think about that, especially if you marinate it differently.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to like go for the showstopper, which I feel like oftentimes is the reason why people cook turkey anyway.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I remember one time I went to a Thanksgiving and they decided not to do a big turkey, so they just did turkey breast, and it was still tasty, but of course the visual impact isn't there. So if you're really looking for something to like do, you know, have a really interesting visual impact, you could do a whole fish, right? And you could stuff it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
We've all That's been to restaurants where we've seen
yeah.
that, right?
It will look very impressive. I
yeah,
it
looks super impressive. Like I've never made a whole fish. Like if I went to somebody's house and they had that, I'd be like, dang, that's pretty cool. There's that. There's also, I tried to kind of rack my brain for like interesting, impressive, quote unquote. Again, this is us just talking about quote unquote impressive things. If you want to do you, whatever you want. But lasagna, I feel like oftentimes is a really big sort of showstopper meal that people will prepare, because if you make it from scratch, it can take all day, right? Like making the sauce, et cetera. So you can do a lasagna and you can do a vegan lasagna. You can do lasagna that is more veggie. So you're using the dairy, but you're not using meat for the filling. Like there's some really interesting things that you can do. And I think the last thing I saw, which I thought was really interesting, was there was a recipe. It was on New York Times Cooking, which unfortunately is behind a paywall. But I guarantee you, if you Google, it was called a savory pumpkin tart. And I actually wasn't even able to read it too much because of the paywall. But then I Googled it. And there's a lot of different recipes for this. So like think about like a savory pie, if you will, that's filled with veggies, right? Why not?
Yeah, it's actually a great point that you're making. And also, again, our scouts this week have been filling out like their favorite holiday tips, eco-friendly holiday tips. And actually, a lot of them are recipes. And of course, some of our scouts are vegan and vegetarian. So Sarah Williams, she said that I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but I've been vegetarian for over a year. Now, and last Christmas, my sister and I tried out some delicious festive recipes, including a vegetarian mushroom Wellington. So she has a link.
Mushroom Wellington. I want to make that. Sounds amazing.
It looks, I just looked up the picture and it does. It's like one of those super impressive, like kind of like stuffed pie. It looks, I think I wanted to make it once, but I'm not a baker. So I'm like, I would be very intimidated by this recipe.
So you can do it, Lisa. So a Wellington is, if you're not familiar with it, it's, you take something and put it in the middle. So traditionally it's a beef Wellington, but you can also use veggies. Like it sounds like one of our scouts has done. And then you basically wrap a puffed pastry around it. And I'm also not a baker. My husband's the one that bakes. But one of the things that we've done before to pretty decent success is you can just get frozen puff pastry at the grocery store.
Yeah, that's the most difficult part, right?
Right? Like that's the most difficult part. And a lot of places like restaurants, they use, most of them will use this frozen stuff because it's usually pretty close to what you'd get if you made it from scratch really, really well. So I love that she has a mushroom Wellington. I'm going to have to try that. That sounds so good.
I definitely heard of that before. And you made me kind of inspired me to actually give it a try because it looks super impressive. Yeah. And like mushrooms, I think I've talked about this before. For me, by far, mushroom, especially portobello, is like the best kind of substitute for me.
Yes.
It's just so tasty. And mushrooms, I think like they're tasty in everything. They just can't go bad with it.
Yeah, I mean, we oftentimes will buy mushrooms in bulk from Costco or from a place like that. And so when I find that they start to kind of, they're almost time to be used, I'll just throw them in anything.
Yep, exactly. It's just like pasta, soup, anything. It's just so good. So good. Okay, what else do we have left to talk about? Obviously, tons of vegetarian recipes, suggestions. We will link to both the holiday tips database and our meatless recipe database. I think it's such a great resource. I know as a meat eater, especially like, and I think our husbands are probably even more intimidated by trying recipes that are meatless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once you have like approval of different recipes from people, I think it's much, much less of an ask of like, okay, let's have a meatless meal today.
Absolutely. And, when we think about the sides on Thanksgiving Day, most of them are veggie based. And there's always the opportunity to kind of reinvent a side that people might have been familiar with. Now, you do have to take a poll before you go, because there's oftentimes people who are like looking forward to the one random side all year, like that green bean casserole thing with the mushroom soup. Like I randomly really like that. And it's just so weird. And if I don't get it, then I'm sad. So so take a poll. And honestly, when I do that poll with people, if we host, and we're actually, we're probably going to, well, depending on the climate here with COVID and everything, we're planning on going to a friend's house, but we'll have to see kind of how that goes. But regardless, we've had times where it's just been Eric and I've made little tiny sides. And I mean, I'll tell you, it's the same amount of work to make all the sides, regardless of size. But anyway, make sure you plan ahead, figure out what you want to do. But I actually make instead of like the traditional quote unquote squash casserole, I make a Tex-Mex version because I'm from Texas originally and it's so good. So what if we like actually used Thanksgiving as a time to really make amazing veggie sides and vegan sides and get the people that in your family might not be used to eating that way, like get them excited about like the yep. amount of flavor that can be packed into one of these sides, right? Like kind of like a gateway into it, right? It's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it. No, the minutes you have, you give them, and like it's something that, again, our scouts, our community members always talk about. It's like kind of how do you like trick? Almost sometimes you have to trick, right? You don't even tell them that it's a meatless meal. And then the minute they really love and enjoy it, you know, there is a less of a, again, a problem for them to like keep going with at least one or two meatless meals a week. So yeah, just try, let's, that's the main thing. That's the main challenge for us, right? How do we make, you know, vegetarian meatless meals like really delicious and absolutely possible? Trust us. Me and Laura have, I feel like I've learned so many more meatless recipes this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just thinking about this and being involved in it. And that's why we're so thankful. You know, people also use Thanksgiving as a time to give thanks. And like, I'm really thankful for the growth that we've seen with this podcast and with Brightly. Like I'm thankful for my co-founder, Lisa here, who's helped with that. Like, I just think in general, it's just been such a great time for us. And our goal, again, is to really help change the world through these small actions that you're doing every day, listeners. So we're just, I mean, I'm so thankful for that, really.
Yes, we are thankful, Laura. I'm thankful for you, and we are very thankful for our community. And that's kind of one of yes. the things that I was really excited about, like thinking about Thanksgiving. It's just like once again, as you said, going back to our roots, going back what's important, and, you know, thanking each other for the support that we hopefully giving each other.
Absolutely. So this is a great way to end the episode, but just we wanted to say thank you, listeners, for joining us. And we really hope that regardless of your situation this year, you are able to have Thanksgiving in a way that is meaningful in some way, right? Like we recognize it's probably not going to be like you're used to, but it's a time for us to kind of take a pause and be mindful.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.